Jambo.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not a document, a documentary, an article, or any other piece of program or information that you choose to get through any particular screen that you choose is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Yes. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PAX Inc. through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us at www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes and Google Play Music. Be sure to head to both iTunes and Google Play Music and leave us a review. And I know some of you are like, but I don't have an iPhone or I don't have an Android. You have friends, they have one or the other. Hit them over the head, whichever one has, which you don't, and put a review up on their account. They will thank you. We will thank you. Everybody will be blessed and the rain will fall on us all. And also be sure to head to www.paxsync.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. PAXSync is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the black community. So the things we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community. This week, we will be talking about propaganda and North Korea. In a documentary produced by Alvaro Longoria and released in 2015, we look at how North Korea uses propaganda and how we're all affected by propaganda. The documentary is entitled The Propaganda Game. The Propaganda Game is a documentary that seeks to look at propaganda, how it affects us, and how it is used as a tool to manipulate us in our views. It does this by looking at the country of North Korea. Because of the way propaganda has been used in North Korea to create a narrative within the country that is so drastically different from the rest of the world, it makes the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea, a very interesting backdrop for the subject. We are introduced to North Korea through Alejandro, a Spaniard who became obsessed with North Korea during his teenage years and eventually moved to the country, started giving tours, and representing himself as a Korean official. Now, I know this isn't the commentary part, but I gotta say, this guy was clearly a fanatic. Back into subject. Scene. We are shown children that look to be around 5 years old, singing songs of praise to the president. We are shown footage of conversations with adults in the streets. We are shown footage of groups of people bowing to these 30-foot tall bronze statues of their leaders. And we are given, through all of these interviews with the populace and officials, an overall sense of how they feel about their own nation as well as the outside world and how they fit within the outside world. Various narratives are also presented and challenged, such as the issues of religious freedoms, social freedoms, hair and clothing freedoms, as well as poverty and oppression. Through experts and direct footage, we'll move through the various points of the documentary in a typical documentary fashion of talking heads, street interviews, cultural shots, overlays, and all of the other tools documentaries use to tell their story. While the documentary doesn't do a lot of direct talking about propaganda, it is always there in the background, working its magic. this documentary was more or less like a video journal than an official documentary. It was more of a ride, more of an experience than a documentary for me personally. There were no psychologists, no marketing experts, no sociologists, just a producer, his cameraman, and his guys and his officials, because as he said numerous times in the documentary, he was followed, he was watched closely, he was never left alone outside of one incident that isn't even in the documentary, where he was in the Russian embassy talking to Russian officials and they took him into this vault type room. So we're very much there, and I believe the intent was to show us without interference the way these people think, the culture they live in, how it affects them, the power of propaganda, and to really see if we could develop some sort of empathic connection with them, and to even see if it would start to cause us to shift a little bit in our views. Because being exposed to the types of propaganda that you are exposed to in the documentary, even for just an hour and a half, can have subtle effects on your thinking, on your way, on the way you view things, especially if you're paying attention. So you're not given anything but the producer, his cameraman, and basically the North Korean propaganda machine. So we go on this journey, and we're twisted, we're turned, our minds are warped and wrapped and twisted and everything. And especially if you don't know a lot about North Korea, which is one of the things that makes this documentary so interesting. We don't know a lot about North Korea, and we're interested in North Korea, especially right now. This documentary was very interesting because it wasn't one of those informative pieces where you get this look at North Korea through the eyes of experts who are really just detailing history for you, and you really don't get a lot of talking to or looking at North Korean culture, North Korean people. This documentary just showed you North Korea. And with the North Korea propaganda machine being what it is, the question is always there: is this being scripted or is it real? This is a question that the producer asked himself on several occasions. You wonder, is this being scripted? Am I being taken to certain places? Is all of this thing being manufactured to shape an outside opinion because of the way the nation uses propaganda, which is essentially, in my opinion, no different than the way any other nation uses propaganda. The only real difference being that nation, what it instills in its people through its propaganda seems to be so much different than the narrative of the rest of the world. So while there are some talking heads, they mainly exist to provide different perspectives on the things that we're seeing. So they're not necessarily there to just give you the full-on historical barrage of information like you would typically see in a documentary. But you'll see a scene about something, and then you'll see a talking head comment on it. You'll hear a statement from an official. You'll see a talking head speak on it from the opposite perspective. But those talking heads aren't in there so much that it robs you of the experience itself. They're kind of sparsed in enough so that you get an outside perspective, but you can still maintain your connection to the actual experience. And at times I found myself even questioning the experts because, you know, it's they're not there. They're not North Korean. A lot of these people are people that just studied it. They're not people that actually grew up there. So their perspectives are going to be inherently different. But it did provide those differing perspectives. Now, very first thing we have to understand when we talk about propaganda is we have to understand what propaganda is. And propaganda is basically, at its most basic level, information, true or false, information used to promote a specific point of view. To that definition of the term, we get into all of the different things that we get into regarding the documentary, you know, and that we already talked about the scripted or unscripted. And listen, whether or not it was scripted is irrelevant to me. For the most part, the unity of the message, this film becomes, I don't think he set out to make this film what it was, but the film almost inadvertently becomes a positive propaganda tool for North Korea because of the way it was shot, because of the rawness of it, because of the fact that there weren't a lot of things to interrupt the experience. Because of all those things, you almost begin to watch this documentary and be like, wow, they really got it together. They're really unified. Then you have to remind yourself, well, there's a lot of things that we aren't seeing. And one of the biggest reminders is the fact that there are no dissenting opinions. No, there are no North Korean dissenting opinions on the screen. And so with that, we're brought into the country, which is a very difficult country to get into, from what I understand, through Alejandro the Fanatic. Now, I mentioned earlier that this guy was a fanatic, and he is. He strongly believes in North Korea. He believes in communism. He believes in all those things. And he is extremely well prepared. He's extremely well rehearsed. And this guy was just like, he was 100% always on it. And there's actually a scene in the documentary where they're in what looks to be a store area. They're eating something or another, and there is a refrigerator behind them, and the refrigerator has a Coca-Cola logo on it. And North Korea, very much against capitalism, very, very, very much against capitalism. But Coca-Cola, you know, is an American enterprise as well. So when he's asked by the producer about this label, he says, he laughs it off. Well, there's actually a good explanation for this, he says, an easy explanation. And then he goes into the fact that they buy the fridges from China, and the fridges come from China with the logo already on it, and they just don't remove the logo. And this is particularly interesting because for them to be as anti-capitalistic as they are, and for them to be as anti-American as we're told that they are, and for them to be as controlling as they are, it is very interesting that that logo would be able to slide into the country and not be removed. That is very interesting in and of itself. That's one of the small points, but it is a powerful point to look at because it's very interesting. But this guy, I don't even want to, I mean, you have to watch the documentary to really understand what I mean when I say this guy was a fanatic, but he was a fanatic. But we also get into the strength of the Korean military. They have one of the top five largest standing armies in the world. So much of their GDP goes into their military and being militarily prepared for war. And we do have to understand this. They are a nation that is very much still at war. The Korean War never ended. What was signed in 1953 was a ceasefire, not a peace treaty. So they're still very much at war. We get to talk to the people and they explain to us they feel like they need a strong military because the world, they will be invaded by the people who seek to destroy them if they don't have a strong military. And even in regards to the military, they took a trip into the demilitarized zone, the Korean DMZ, which is basically a strip of land created in 1953, at the end of the three-year North Korean War, which the North Koreans started when they invaded South Korea by crossing the 38th parallel. And well, let me go back and get into all of that. Okay, so in 1950, the North Koreans crossed the 38th parallel into South Korea and invaded South Korea. And there was a three-year long war. Eventually, international forces, the USA included, and South Korea were able to push North Korea back to where they were above the 38th parallel. And it was a three-year war, cost 3 million lives, and each army decided to pull their forces back 2,000 meters, which created from the front line, which created this buffer zone that's about 4 miles wide and runs the entire length of the peninsula along the 38th parallel that is now called the demilitarized zone. Basically, no armed conflict is allowed within that zone. Troops can patrol through the zone, but they're not allowed to cross the 38th parallel. And the DMZ in and of itself is an interesting story because over the years, since the 1950s, there have been numerous North and South Korean crossings of that line, violations of the agreement. There have been hundreds of North and South Korean soldiers that have been killed, 50 American soldiers that have been killed. But the interesting part, going to the DMZ, was in talking to one of the North Korean soldiers stationed there, who mentioned that the ceasefire armistice had been violated by the United States over 800,000 times. So you go into that, and then you go into the narrative of what they're taught in school. The brief history lesson I just gave you on the Korean conflict is drastically different from what they learn in school. What they learn in school is that the Americans invaded North Korea, and the Americans want to capture, conquer, and destroy North Korea. This is the lesson that they're taught in school. They're also taught that North Korea is the center. It is the jewel of the world. It is the highlight. Everyone's looking up to North Korea for answers to all of these social problems and economic problems. They're basically taught that they are the oasis in the desert. They are the calm in the storm. And it creates a very interesting dynamic, because you compare it to the types of things that we're taught about North Korea. And the fact that they're taught these things also is shown in several instances by the fact that they constantly speak to the fact that America has never apologized for invading them. Now, us as Americans, we have a different perspective. We're like, we never invaded you. Why should we apologize? But the fact that they're expecting an apology, even in the Spaniard, Alvaro, who produced the documentary, is actually from Spain himself. And then even in him asking some of the questions, he was met a few times with statements like, you're an outsider, you won't understand, which speaks to the propaganda and the culture that they've experienced. And what is interesting is they spoke about all the freedoms they were allowed to have in the country. And they spoke to a lot of the different facts that, you know, there was no oppression necessarily. And there weren't executions of people who dissented. But it was interesting that there were no dissenting North Korean voices being interviewed inside of the country. So that was also interesting. But throughout it all, you start to feel the documentary taking its effect on you, even with the breaks, and you start to feel yourself shifting, or at least I did. Now, the interesting part of this, when you look at propaganda, is the fact that this is their culture, what they've been taught, what they believe from their perspective. Now, you compare their views to our views on the outside world, and you begin to wonder who's right and who's wrong, who's really being propagandized to be the negative monster and who isn't. What are we accepting that isn't really true? What have we been told? It really makes you question a lot of the information that you're getting from various sources, governmental sources, educational sources. It really makes you question all of these things, even to go so far as to question translation sources, because a lot of times different cultures have languages for words for things in their language that you don't have in yours. And so how do you translate something when there is no word for it in your language? And how does the way you translate it cause that thing to be shifted, especially when we're talking about abstract things like culture? So you begin to wonder about things like how we as Americans and we as Black people in America have been taught to view ourselves, have been taught to view white people, have been taught to view America, have been taught to view our place in America and our relationship to white people and the dominant power structure. You really begin to look at all those things, and it causes you to question. And what it causes me to do, because this is something I've been thinking about for a while, years actually, is it really causes me to want to seek other perspectives, outside information from outside of the country, information from other intellectuals, other scholars from other places, to broaden my horizons, to broaden my knowledge base, to broaden my perspectives on various different subjects. And it also has caused me to strive to want to learn various different languages, because I understand that languages are tools, and I understand the power of language. When you understand a language, it gives you a separate perspective with which to view the world. When you understand a culture, it gives you a separate perspective with which to view the world, and it makes you that much more informed and that much more prepared for any challenges that you might face. So this documentary was very powerful in that sense, and one that I definitely think we should look at under the guise of sitting back, opening ourselves up to the experience, and then bringing that experience back to the table and making changes in our lives based on what we have experienced, because it truly was a wonderfully magnificent thing. So in total, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. And I know that's only 3 stars, but whatever. But I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 stars. I prefer history and information over experience pieces in my documentaries, but I understand that these types of experience type documentaries are still very important from an empathetic standpoint, helping you to see the world through the eyes of another person and helping you to compare and contrast your own experiences to that of the other person's. In terms of covering the subject of propaganda, it did a fair job of expressing and showing. It would have benefited from more expert analysis, psychologists and sociologists, things of that nature. In terms of covering North Korea, again, it did a pretty okay job. I think it would have benefited more if that was the case of if it were a more Korean, North Korean focused documentary on more of a historical analysis and perspectives from historians of various things. But it did an okay job of sitting right there in the middle. We're going to show you propaganda through North Korea, but we're also going to show you North Korea through propaganda. I think it did a very good job of that. If you like experience pieces, this is a documentary for you. If you prefer more analysis and talking heads, factual information over theory and conjecture, then this isn't the documentary for you. But I enjoyed it. I hope you'll enjoy it. Again, 3.5 out of 5, which is a pretty decent score. Hey, we're almost out of here. Tell your friends to check us out. iTunes, Google Play Music, Freedom Train, RadioStation.com website. Hit us up, follow us, subscribe, and we will see you next week for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
From the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.